We've just returned from our holidays in up north, really up north. So we went up to the Yorkshire Moors and across the Dales and then to the lakes. And you know what? It didn't rain apart from 24 hours, solid. Steroids, but apart from that, it was really good. And one of the things I noticed that as we travelled from the North Yorkshire Moors and then to the Dales, sheep everywhere, lots of wonderful, beautiful sheep. But you know, they're not all the same. They've got different faces, and some are black sheep, black faces, white bodies, all completely different, but beautiful. And when we stayed in the Dales, we stayed in a pod. It looks like a hobbit's home, really, and not much more than that, really, but with electricity, so it's kind of glamping, really. It was all right, you know. But our neighbours, we had some human neighbours. We had a lot of sheep, too. And at night time, they would gather outside the wall which surrounded the youth hostel in which we were staying. And they would gather just behind where our pod was. And they'd be there to sleep at night because there was shelter in the lee of the wall. And every night, though, they'd escape and they'd be eating around the pods. And you could hear them chomping. And one of them kept me awake all night because it had a cough. I've never heard of a sheep with a cough. But they're all very different, aren't they? The sheep are very different, just as we, like, individuals, as human beings, are all really rather different. And I just want to draw to our attention the story that Jesus told of the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Because he's getting an important point here. And right at the beginning of chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered." They'd already made up their mind that those who were not of their kin were sinners and lost. Tax collectors, sinners, finished. And they had nothing within them about the mercy of God. They didn't really want to associate with them and to give them an opportunity of hearing the good news of God that is in Christ Jesus. And they didn't know who Jesus was either. The Pharisees had completely and utterly missed the fact that this man, Jesus Christ, was the one, the Messiah, for whom they had waited for generations. They did not know him. And so they did the only thing that they could do. In those circumstances, they turned against Jesus as well as the tax collectors and sinners. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And of course, all the way through Jesus' ministry, we find that he always turned the tables in that way. He did the unexpected. He met with people and showed them mercy when the people, the religious people of his day, did not. He showed everyone mercy. Gave them an opportunity to hear the good news of God in creation. And yet, the Pharisees would not. So Jesus tells this extraordinary parable. And we've heard it many, many times. And there are many different elements to it. But I just think it's an extraordinary picture of God's amazing mercy. And he tackles it on two points, really. The first of all is to say this, that if you have 100 sheep but one disappears, the shepherd of the sheep loves the sheep so very much that he will leave them in care, even though because it was in the open country, but he will go off and he will seek out that sheep until it's brought back into the fold. That may seem like an obvious thing to be saying, but clearly the Pharisees did not understand this. They did not understand the nature of God's mercy. So Jesus is saying, God is like this. And actually, he's more interested in those who are lost and sinners than those who think they are righteous. We need to be very careful about what we say about ourselves. We are all in need of God's searching, merciful love, the one who seeks us out when we've kind of wandered off too. And there are plenty of places for us to wander. So the shepherd goes off and he seeks out that sheep until he finds it. I think that's a wonderful picture, that God will do that. And some people will go to extraordinary lengths to avert their eyes from the gaze of God. They want to seek out places where they hope they will not be found. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, always seeks out those who are lost and gives them an opportunity to return to the fold. And what we see in that picture at the end is he finds that sheep and he carries it home on his shoulders. That's a beautiful image. That's the lengths to which Jesus goes because of his rich mercy towards humankind, to seek people out, to seek out the lost, so that they may find forgiveness and most vitally rest. People are restless until they find their place in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus returns to this other thing here where he talks about the rejoicing that is in heaven. No small wonder that Jesus was always found at parties, because he's talking about another party that's going on when just one sinner repents. I wonder if that's in your heart, you know, that you have a real desire to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. There are lost sheep. We too can become lost sheep, but there are lost sheep out there who are searching and hoping and looking for something else. And we have something to tell them about that. Not forcefully, but just showing them a way to find the Father through Jesus Christ. Rejoice with me, said Jesus. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let's pray for the lost sheep. Not now, but let's pray for them. Let's pray that they may find Jesus, who is their Saviour and their Good Shepherd too. And he goes on, and you can imagine that, you know, in the first parable, the sheep can go missing. They can get up and wander off. But the second one is about a coin. It's not the coin's fault. The coin gets lost. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Will she not search the house and sweep it clean until she finds it? She will in this instance, because this perhaps was a very poor woman who had perhaps and just 10 silver coins was her dowry. One coin was a tenth of all that she ever owned and ever had, and she needed to look for this coin. And she would spend every minute of her day looking for it, sweeping away on the hard floor, hoping to hear the clink of metal on the floor to give the game away, until she finds that coin. Well, God is just like that. That is the merciful God whom we love. And he seeks out people in that similar way until it is found. And in the same way, he said, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus is making the point again. And as we read the story, Paul's example in his letter to Timothy, he's recounting to Timothy the Lord's grace and mercy upon him, who is the chief of all sinners, says Paul. Because Paul, who was Saul, persecuted the early Christian church, determined to stamp it out. But God's grace and mercy set him free from all of that. And so he wanted to remind Timothy in his ministry of this truth. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was why he came. He wants to seek the lost and to find them and make sure they know God's salvation through his blood shed on a cross. And then Paul says, for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. God has unlimited patience with his sheep. What a relief that is. He needs unlimited patience with me, and maybe that's the same for you. And that's exactly what he's like. And so it's to him that we come and worship today. Because when we feel his touch upon our lives, and we sense his grace, mercy and forgiveness, and we sense his healing, then we have something to rejoice in. And there are others rejoicing in heaven over that same fact. That's whom we come to worship today. The God who is always looking out for us and always seeking to draw us closer to him. And because of that, because of the richness of God's mercy, we do need to be praying for the world in which we live, for the lost, the least, the last, that they too may come to know the grace and mercy of God that is exhibited through Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection to eternal life. Let us help with all the prayers that we can, and through our personal witness, the way we live our lives, let us do this to bring others to Christ, so that there might be more partying in heaven, because that's what we rejoice in too. Let us pray.